Did you know that we are so easily enticed by lies? Like, for example, we get excited and our imagination starts spinning at the thought of something as silly as buried treasure or a treasure map. Now, there's so many movies and books that talk about pirates who buried treasure and that there's treasure maps and you find. There's something so exciting about finding a map and then there's this secret that nobody else knows about, but you can be the one to find the treasure and you can be the one to figure out the secret. But I saw this on TV, so it has to be true. It's on the History Channel that apparently pirates most often did not bury treasure and did not make maps to find it because they wanted to keep it with them on their ships all the time. And where we get those ideas is mainly from Treasure Island, which was a book written by Robert Louis Stevenson a long time ago. So all the stuff in movies and books about hiding treasure in this treasure chest, that this magnificent secret that only a few will discover, is based on imagination. And the only picture that I could find of a real treasure chest under the water is actually one that Volvo put underwater. They hid in the ocean some gold and keys to a new Volvo, and that treasure chest has still not been found. So it's kind of ironic that the only somewhat real treasure chest that's ever been hidden hasn't even been found, yet it's this idea that we get so captivated with and so drawn into that our imaginations go crazy with thinking there's this secret treasure that no one can find, but I'm going to be the one to find it. And what's problematic about that is that there were people that were going into the church at Colossae and were telling them that there is a secret treasure of knowledge that they could find. They were trying to say, okay, you think Jesus is great, but it's time to move past Jesus because there's a deeper knowledge, a mystical, secret knowledge that is hidden and only few can find it. These were false teachers that were going into that church and telling them, guys, come on, get real. I understand you believe in Jesus, but now it's time to move on to something deeper. It's time to move on to something more mature. And they were deceiving them with this idea of some secret treasure of knowledge that doesn't even exist. It's a lie. And they were drawn to it. There is no secret knowledge that's deeper or better than Jesus. There is no treasure that's better than knowing Jesus. But these false teachers had tricked them. So Paul had to write in his letter, which is what the book of Colossians is. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. And part of what he's saying in this letter is, don't be deceived. Don't think you have to move past Jesus to go to a deeper secret treasure of knowledge that doesn't exist. Jesus is your treasure. And guys, sometimes we can fall prey to that line of thinking as well. So when we look at Colossians 2, 1 through 7, I want you to be thinking, this is the question that it answers. How do you fight the temptation of chasing after other treasure? So if you haven't already, turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. So there's some people, he hasn't been to the church in Colossae, so he hasn't met these people, and there's people in Laodicea. It's like Colossae and Laodicea are kind of like Brian and College Station connected. He's saying, I haven't been there, I haven't met them, but I'm struggling for them. And the struggling is either just generally the persecution and the jail time he's doing for Jesus for them, or maybe that he's struggling in prayer for them, because what else can he do when he's in jail? So he prays, he's struggling, he's praying that they would grow deep in their knowledge of and treasuring of Jesus Christ. He's struggling for them, but when I read that, the question that comes to my mind, is there a question that comes to your mind when you read that? The question that comes to my mind is, why would he struggle for people that he hasn't even met? Well, what's the point in that? What's the purpose? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Look at what the next verse says. My purpose, he's going to tell us what his purpose is. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. So he wants their hearts to be strong and united, like when you weld two pieces of metal together. When they're in Jesus, they're made stronger and they're connected. And that's what he's praying for them. And it's not just that they're connected to each other, they're also connected to someone else, much more powerful. Look at what it says. I want them to be encouraged and united in love, so that, this is in the middle of verse 2, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So, why does he want them to be strong and united? Because he wants them to stay connected to Jesus and focused on Jesus. Why is he so concerned that they be focused on Jesus? It's because right now there's an attack on their mind. False teachers have snuck into that church and started spreading lies about Jesus. And so that's why he uses these words about their mind. Notice, underline the word in the middle of verse 2. It says, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Underline understanding. In order that they may know, underline know. And there's that mystery. Remember mystery that we talked about last week? The mystery has been revealed, that it's Christ in you, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. Underline that word wisdom. And knowledge. Underline that word knowledge. Look at that. Understanding, know, wisdom, knowledge. He's using these words about their mind because their mind was being poisoned by false teachers who said, Jesus is not enough. You need to move on to something deeper. Let me give you the secret knowledge. And it was weird that they would say that only a few people could be truly enlightened and truly enter into this knowledge of God. Like, it would be like if you all said, I want to get closer to Jesus. How do I know this knowledge? And if you came to me, maybe 1 out of 10 of you, I would say, I'll let you look at our book of secrets, and the rest of you are not worthy. It's only a few get the deep secrets of knowledge. That's what these false teachers were teaching, that it's not something for everybody. And so Paul is addressing their mind and saying, I want you to stay focused on Jesus Christ. And don't listen to their lies about secret knowledge, because that's what they are. They're just lies. And you know how lies like that can spread? It's because we are so easily enticed by lies and this notion of secret, that I'm getting on something that no one else does. Just try this sometime. Next time you're in a crowd, just lean over to somebody like this and whisper something to them. It doesn't have to be anything important. Just say, like, when I brushed my teeth this morning, I used an electric toothbrush. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But I promise you, in about 10 seconds, there will be somebody who will come over and say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because everybody wants to be in on a secret. Just try it and tell them, I used an electric toothbrush. Wait, tell him. Whisper it to them. And when you start spreading it like that, people will see, there's a secret, and I want in on it. And so people get crazy about secret knowledge. Like, it is something when it's just based on a lie. And we all have that fear built into us. It's why that hashtag FOMO is so big. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Fear
of missing out. There's that we all have that fear of missing out. So if we think there's some secret knowledge, I want it. And that's the lie that these false teachers were selling, that Jesus isn't enough. There's something beyond Jesus, that secret knowledge that only a few have. You want in on it, don't you? You want to be mature. Don't you want to move to the deeper stuff? And that's the lies that they were pushing. And so Paul is saying to them, I want you to know the mystery. And it's funny because these false teachers use words like secret and mystery. And Paul uses their own words against them and said, I'll tell you what the mystery is. The mystery is Jesus Christ. And it's not a hidden mystery. He has revealed himself to all of mankind. That's the mystery. So don't be enticed by secret knowledge. The mystery has already been revealed, and it's Jesus. It's a simple but deep and profound truth of Jesus Christ in you because he loves you. Don't be enticed by something more. And Paul's saying there's something so much better than a secret. And it's even so much better than just knowledge. He doesn't just say, I want you to know things about Jesus, or even that I want you to know how to make the right decisions. It's even something better than that. You know what it is? You know what the treasure is? The treasure is not knowing about something or knowing how to make good choices. The treasure is knowing a person. It's knowing Jesus Christ. And there's a big difference in knowing about Jesus and actually knowing him. Actually spending time with him. Actually hearing his heart. Talking to him and listening to him. Spending time. That's how you get to know Jesus Christ. And that's the true treasure. That's why you see those words, full riches. Do you see in the middle of verse 2? So that they may have the full riches. And in verse 3, in whom, in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So there's riches and there's treasure, but it's not in something beyond Jesus. It's down deeper inside of Jesus, the Jesus that you already know and love and believe. So Paul's saying, don't try to go past Jesus. Go deeper in, fall deeper in love with Jesus. That's growth. That's maturity. And it's like, let me see this. See what I have here?
A treasure chest.
It'd be like if I have this treasure chest and inside is Jesus. And it'd be like somebody came to me and said, that's great that you have the treasure, but why don't you move on past that to something else? And trying to entice me to leave Jesus behind and go on to something else. How ridiculous and how absurd would that be whenever I have life and satisfaction and the full riches and treasure of Jesus Christ right here, and he's already in me. If I want to move on to maturity, if I want to be smart, if I want to go deep in my faith, I don't put this aside and move forward. What do? I open this baby up and I go deep down inside of Jesus. I get to know him more and more deeply. I spend time in the Bible, spend time with him, and let my heart fall deeper in love with him. That's growth. That's maturity. There are no secrets outside of Jesus. They're lies. They're shallow, empty promises that don't satisfy. Now look at verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. That means that these false teachers were using fine-sounding arguments, persuasive arguments. And the lie is, if it was for us today, it would sound something like this. Aren't you ready to kind of move past the ABCs of John 3:16? Okay, Jesus died for my sins and I believe in him. Okay, that's great, but now move on. That's the lie. We don't ever move on past that. We go deeper in that. We fall more in love with him. Does that make sense? You see the difference there? We don't move past the gospel. We go deeper in the gospel. And look at verse 5. For though I am absent from you in body. Why is he absent from them in body? He's in jail. I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see, or what he means is hear, how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So the words orderly and firm, those are military words there that he's saying you guys are holding it together. You believed in Jesus, and you're doing a great job of holding and standing firm and not letting these false teachers knock you off course. Just stay that way. Make sure you stay firm, that you're a focused, unshakable, unstoppable force like the Juggernaut. You know this guy? This guy from, what was that, X-Men? Yeah. I don't remember. But this guy, that's him lowering his head and just running through walls. Could you imagine running up to him saying, I'm going to knock him off course and try to push him to the side? You're going to get run over. Look at what he's doing to these concrete walls. That is a bad dude, and he is focused on one thing. Nothing is going to knock him off course. And that's what Paul is saying to these Colossians. He says, I want you to stay firm, firmly focused on believing in Jesus and going deeper in the gospel. And don't let anybody try to push you to the right or left. Stand firm in what you believe. He says in verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. So look, the received, underline the word received. When they received Christ, that's their past. And then continue, underline that, that's their future. He's saying, you believed in Jesus and everything, you received it with faith, and you're like, yes, Jesus. Now he says, don't just stop there. Make sure it moves from your past and your present and your future, that you continue in this faith and you continue to believe that Jesus is enough and He is my treasure, and don't be shaken by the false teachers. So you continue to live in Him. And by the way, continuing to live in Him is also making your life look more and more like the life of Jesus, and letting Him not only transform your thoughts and your heart, but He also transforms how you act in the real world. Continue to live in Him. And what does that continuing really look like? Well, He gives us four things in verse 7. Here's our last verse. You're rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So the four words here that I want you to underline is rooted and built up and strengthened and thankfulness. Those are the four things that happen when you're continuing and you're not shaken from what you know to be true, that we're supposed to grow deep in Jesus and not grow past Him. And look at what is Paul doing. He's comparing us to something. When he uses that word root, what's he comparing us to?
Tree.
He's comparing us to a tree. And a tree is alive. That means with a tree, growth is expected, movement is not. You got roots in the ground, in Jesus. Don't move past that. You are supposed to grow deeper and taller in Him. So you've got the root, that's like the beginning. Then it says built up, that's like the trunk growing strong, that you grow up. And you're strengthened. That's like as your roots continue to deepen and you continue to grow up, that you stand strong in the storms. Because if your roots are deep in Jesus, nothing's going to shake you. And then it says, overflowing with thankfulness. And that makes me think of how a tree is overflowing and putting off oxygen out into the air, and everybody benefits from that. Because that's what happens to us. If we're believers, if you're grounded in Jesus, if Jesus is your everything and you continue to grow deeper in Him, and how much you know Him, how much time you spend with Him, how much you think about Him, how much you love Him, guess what's going to come out of you? Thanksgiving. Not only in your prayers when you're talking to God and when you're singing, but also when you're talking to your friends at school. You're going to talk about Jesus and what He's done in your life. And if thanksgiving isn't pouring out of you all the time, maybe your roots aren't deep enough in Jesus yet. Maybe you need to fall deeper in love with Jesus. Maybe you think there's a better treasure for you out there and it's not there. And our praise flows out of us. Now, Paul is basically saying, don't listen to these false teachers. Stay with Jesus. Grow strong and deep in the gospel. Don't buy into the lies that there's a secret truth beyond him. So, here's my question for you. What pleasure do you treasure? Maybe for you, it's some worldly pleasure. Maybe it's some person or something or some hobby or some habit. What pleasure do you treasure that just makes you so happy that you long for, and it is your treasure that's not Jesus? What is it that you treasure? That you've bought into the lie that this is where my treasure is. This is where this is what's going to make me happy, not Jesus. What is that for you? Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus right now to put some thoughts on your mind. If it helps you to close your eyes and ask Him, do that. Ask Him, what is it that I'm turning to for happiness that's not you, Jesus? And some of you, it might not be a particular person or thing. Maybe for you, it's just feeling. And let me explain that one a little bit. If you want to go deep in Jesus, but you think what you're after is when you spend time with Jesus that you're going to feel Him, or you think you're going to feel great when you spend time with Jesus, if that's what your treasure is, that feeling, then you're going to be disappointed and you're going to move on to a different treasure. Because it's not about a feeling. It's about knowing Christ. If you're all about the feeling, feeling more spiritual or feeling good, or then you're going to move on to some sort of Eastern mysticism and maybe a mixture of drugs and that, where you find feeling. And it kind of makes me think of the difference between a back scratch and a back rub, okay? Because there are things in this world that can provide that shallow, almost tickly pleasure that it's like, ooh, this is exciting, this is awesome, but it's so shallow. And then what about the difference between that and a back rub where it's like deep and sometimes even painful at first, but then you have to get through the pain to get to the good stuff. That's the difference between feelings and a true depth of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ does provide a pleasure, but it's deeper than the shallow feelings of the world. So be careful that you don't idolize feelings and look at that as your treasure, because it'll let you down. Knowing Jesus Christ will never let you down. If feelings are not your treasure, but knowing Christ is, that means when you're spending time with Him, if it doesn't feel great or you don't want it, you read anyway, you pray anyway, and you stick with it, and you lead with faithfulness and obedience, and let the feelings catch up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for being our treasure. I pray that we would not fall victim to the lies of the enemy that would entice us to find happiness anywhere else other than in You, Jesus. And help us to not even look for feelings about You, Jesus, but just look for You and knowing You and spending time with You. And I pray that if, as my friends grow older and continue to grow in their relationship with You, if they ever read a book or hear a podcast or have a mentor tell them, hey, let me teach you some deeper truths that take them away from Jesus, show them, convict them that those are lies to be discarded. But if they are deeper truths that lead us into who you are, Jesus, may we embrace those and rejoice in you and knowing you, finding full riches and treasure of all knowledge and wisdom in you. Jesus, we love you. We want to spend time with you. We want to know you deeply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.